Hi, welcome to Bagel Tech in ATCO, the show that sits and waits for Bagel Tech to get an undo in ATCO on, and he never shows. Bugger. I need to send him an email the day before, don't I? The week before is obviously not good enough. The blank screen up here to the left is Mr. Anatko's. If he dials in during the show, fabulous. We'll all have a fun time. But until that point, I'm joined by the fantastic three of Don McAllister. Hello, mate.
Good afternoon, Ewan. How are you?
I'm fine. How did your Black Friday sale go of your screencasts online?
It's still going, isn't it? It's still going because it's only, it's the afternoon here. It's only morning over in the States. So.
Yeah, loads of days to go. Loads more tweets coming out for me to retweet?
No, I'm just doing three today. I did one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and I'll do one this evening. Mind you, no, I did screw up one of the links on one of them as well, which didn't help.
If it does.
But, you know, but yeah.
Did you do the recall it all? You know, a delete tweet thing?
I just deleted it from the website. Yeah, it seemed to be okay.
See, I always do that. I push out six tweets across six accounts, and then I have to sit and delete each one individually because it won't let me do a global delete, so... Never mind. Beneath him, to the right, we've got Alex Fox. Hello, mate.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for standing in again.
That's all right. Well, I'm sitting in, but it's as close as you're going to get from me.
Good week.
From what I can remember of it, yeah.
Well, we drank beer, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm only just starting to remember what happened between now and then. So, yeah, it was a very good night.
We drank beer and had felt sick. I felt sick the following day from that bloody Chinese. That was a bloody awful place.
Yeah, that's why I only had a little bit.
I think I had deep fried cockroach at some point.
At least it was deep fried.
Faintly disguised as a prawn. And new man on the podcast, Gaz, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. And you?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
I think I'm taking over from your because obviously I've grabbed my beer now. So.
Oh, and another one.
Yeah, I thought
you're obviously walking wherever you've got to go at 4:10.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you lucky git. I'll be having beer later. I'll get some beer later. The week in Macintosh. It's been another quiet week, really. One of the things that's quite surprising is that Mr. Swagger is normally here, of course, but being Thanksgiving, that's what I think it's the malaise of podcasts this week. He's off with some friends having a good time. And it's the one week where he could come in and really crow about the TV, isn't it? He said, we're going to get a TV by May, and the forecast is looking like it probably would be the case. The Isaacson interview says that Steve managed to actually come out with the fact he thought there was going to be a TV, and he cracked it, and it was going to be Siri-enabled. Are we really going to get a Siri-enabled TV? I'm really excited.
I don't know. I mean, it's still a rumour and speculation. There's still nothing firm come out. I know there's lots more rumours and speculation now, and I did see a couple of blog posts about people saying that Apple are in discussions with, wasn't Samsung, it was another big vendor. But Sharp. Sharp, that's right, and they're well underway, and this, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it myself.
Yeah. I mean, Siri-enabled TV, though, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, there is actually, there's a link on YouTube. You know, Plex, the media center that you can, it's a third-party media center. Someone's built a Siri proxy interface for Plex. It's not been released yet, but he was doing some proof of concept, and he was just talking to his phone, and Plex was obeying. You know, he was just saying things like, play such and such episode 1, series 3, and it go in and just start playing it. And it actually did look pretty sweet, actually, and it would be a nice way to control the TV.
Can you imagine, though, all the arguments you used to have? I mean, you're just going to be shouting down now to try and turn the TV over.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not you'll actually be able to talk directly to the TV. It would seem more sensible to actually talk into a handheld device. So everyone has to have an iPhone who's watching the TV and they want to change channels. I think that's the way.
You'd have to pair it, wouldn't you, somehow?
Yeah.
Well, Siri. It would be, quite difficult otherwise, wouldn't it? Because you'd be sitting down watching a football, your wife would walk in and go, turn over Coronation Street. And you'd be going, no, football. And the telly would just be swapping backwards and forwards. And it would just, in the end, it would just get up and walk out, I think.
No, there's got to be a Siri, ignore the wife.
Exactly. I've got the plug in my hand. Who do you want to obey?
Well, perhaps a bit like the parental controls, where you can have time bands of who's, you know, instead of how long you can be on the machine, who can control the telly. So you can have the telly between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and I'll control it between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And it recognizes your voice and will only respond to your commands for those times.
We thought, you say that, but I mean, we thought we'd put on some on the blacklist a few channels that we didn't want Ellis to find. And I walked into him a couple of weeks back and found him sat watching Babe Station. It was in the middle of the day. She was dressed, but ish. But, Dad, she's got no clothes on. Well, no, she has got clothes on, mate. You could you just think the ban Siri, ban X Factor. Yes.
Yeah, have a ban list. That's a good statement to make. Just
you,
generally,
you could ban individual programs. That would be awesome. Definitely.
Sunday afternoon would be tricky as well. You know, like when someone's asleep on the couch and you don't want to disturb them. What you're going to do? You're going to walk up to telly and whisper, "Turn over."
The chat room's gone into babe station mode now. There's no point in talking to them.
It's when you're shouting profanities at the football result that Siri then shouts back that you shouldn't be swearing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when I watch the rugby, I'm always sitting there shouting, "Give it or pass" or something like that.
What you want to do is you want to devise a station called "Pass" or "Get off" or "Rubbish," and every time someone shouts it, it will turn over to your station.
Mm. Yeah, wife's favourite phrase. Got to find all the things she says in Strictly and X Factor and that kind of stuff and get it go across and that'd be fine. So, perfect.
Do you want to pause this?
No, it's all right. That's Ellis ringing the bell because he's a numpty and Sharon's got keys, so she'll let him in there. That's fine. Yeah. And I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to get abuse for the fact that, did you really start the podcast with the door closed? Bryony's on her own. How dare you? Bad father. jungle nonsense as well. Jungle, give me a celebrity, get me out of here. Biter.
So how definite is this tie-up? Is this just more rumour mongering?
Well, no, this all started, I've got to say, long before there was any rumours about the TV. Kyle said his cousin works at Apple but has got a different name, so they're never going to find him unless they go through their emails. And he said, watch out, there's a TV definitely coming. And it was about 18 months to go.
All right, so you've started it.
No, I think there's been some TV rumours kicking about for a while just now, but Kyle mentioned it about 18 months. Don't worry, mate, I've had the doorbell ring. Kyle mentioned it about 18 months ago. So.
Right, okay.
Well, maybe what happens, right? Maybe, I mean, I'm not saying Apple do this, but what would be really clever is you just start a tiny little rumour about something like a TV. And then you can spend the next year waiting for people to come up with these really great ideas. Because they'll say, oh, wouldn't it be good if... And then when you decide to finally make it, you've had half the planet coming up with all these great ideas. What would really be good to stick on the television?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem that we've got as a species now is that Star Trek isn't stretching us anymore. Because really, I mean, really, innovation is all a bit has always been about catching up with Star Trek, and Star Trek's not going anywhere now.
What, that old hat?
Well, no, they've still got disruptors, they've still got scanners, they've still got the bloop things for the communicators.
The doors don't make a shush noise yet.
Well, is that it, though? I want a turbo lift and a door that goes shush, and I only live in a 1,400 square feet house.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up.
Oh, okay. We'll give you that. But tractor beams as well. There was a story about tractor beams this week.
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
Producing tractor beams actually working.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's got to do with Mac. Maybe it'll be I-beam.
I-beam.
But yeah, I mean, that's really quite exciting. You'd be able to talk to your telly and tell it to go and bring your car closer to the house.
It links their, it automatically pulls your credit card out towards their device that takes the payment.
But actually, the point, you know, it's a Mac show, I agree, but have Apple got to a point now where you can't just talk about Mac? You've got to talk about more encompassing things because of, you know, the way they're going and the way that everything is integrated.
Like what, though?
Well, I mean, you used to talk about Mac and, you know, there was a smaller group of people that are using the Mac and doing special things. But now, you know, we're talking about the integration with other devices and we're talking about an Apple TV, which obviously is going to be everybody's going to be using. And we're just talking generally about technology, which we'd like Apple to produce because we know they can normally do a good job on
I've got to answer the door
getting
I'm
it
sorry.
To their market.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. The whole Apple thing and Mac is difficult now. I mean, with Screencast Online, you know, it's ostensibly a Mac show, but yeah. I do cover iOS. You know, I cover some iPhone stuff, I cover some iPad stuff, but I do get some pushback. You know, some people aren't very happy that I'm actually covering other devices, even though they're made by Apple. They're not Mac devices, and they want to see Mac stuff on the tutorial show. So. It's difficult, and I think it's really hard just to talk about the Mac because everything is so integrated. And that's the reason why I sort of do some shows on the iPad and iOS, because I might start off at, on it with a Mac app, but you know there's an iPhone version, or there's some integration with an iPhone app, and you can't really decouple it completely. I think those days are gone, really.
I was going to say, is the world of Mac actually diminishing rapidly with the death of the desktop? You know, as a prediction, the Mac app is going to disappear.
Well, I think it goes back. I hope I'm quoting the Mac show. It might have been the Big Show, but it was a conversation you had recently regarding the community aspect of Apple. Because and the consensus was the community has sort of dissipated slightly because it's no longer a community based on one product, e.g. the Mac. It's a community based on phones, iPods, you know, Apple TVs, Macs, you know, the whole thing. So the whole thing's been diluted to a point where it's non-specialist anymore. And what you're talking about now is you're asking for a community based around a company rather than a product. And that's a very, very different thing entirely. I mean, I think it's interesting that everything seems to be quite going around in circles, whatever the right word for that is, in technology. Because at the moment, we're trying... we're having one device doing many different things, but that's sort of everything happened in the 70s that, you know, or even the 60s, you'd have a TV with a radio, with a teas made or whatever ludicrous thing you could stick in one single unit. And that's what sort of happened back then. Then we've got away from that and everything became single devices again, because we wanted, you know, the thing that we were using just to do that, and so we could sort of mix and match. And now technology seems to be going back again to, say, a TV with a computer built in, with voice recognition, and everything being into one box, and everything being boxed up together again. Do you think it will then, we'll get this, and then we'll get bored of having everything in one unit, and then we'll say, no, actually, we want our computer over there and our TV over there? Because what's next is you're going to have something PS3-like by Apple, and it will do absolutely everything, including high-end gaming.
It's when it becomes, you know, a jack of all trades and a master of none. It's when it can't do something specific, and then somebody else brings a product which does that job that people are looking for it to do much better than, you know, the device that they're currently using.
Yeah, but that's the iPhone argument, isn't it? Is the iPhone great because it does all these things, but it doesn't do any of them particularly brilliantly?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the masterstroke that Apple did with both the iPhone and the iPad is that they made it a touchscreen device. So basically, it can be anything you want. It's all driven by software. So, you know, you're not limited by... obviously, the hardware needs to support it, but you're not limited by the physical nature of the beast. You know, there's no set keys, there's no set keyboard. So you can basically do whatever you want with that sort of flat slab of electronics. And, you know, that's why it has become such a valuable device, because it is multifunctional, and that's all because of the different apps and the way you can actually create software to do different things.
Yeah, I mean, there was an interesting point last night with James in the Big Show, because he was saying that one of the things that's horrible about TiVo is the fact that it picks up what you like, but there's a certain niceness with a newspaper about reading stuff that you hadn't thought you were going to read about, and learning as a process of picking up an odd story in a doctor's surgery, et cetera, et cetera. And if you look at the TV process, you know, if we go for the all-in-one handheld device and we're going to sit with our own iPad and watch the TV and it's going to be live streamed to us, and then at some point someone's going to say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll do no live TV. What we'll do is we'll do this huge repository like iPlayer, and the new stuff will get put in the repository and you'll RSS feed it like iTunes does with your podcasts, and that's the way we'll watch TV in future. And you don't stumble across stuff then that's, oh, I'll just watch 10 minutes of this, and before you know it, you've watched the whole program.
I mean, that's a scary, scary thought, because, you know, that's how society's become problematic. You know, we all need to be exposed to things that we don't necessarily know about or even enjoy. Because if we don't, we've got no understanding whatsoever of what other people like. You know, and then we all start separating ourselves off into those that like tech programs and those that like sitting in a jungle.
Well, we kind of do that already.
Yeah, but there is somewhere in the middle. What we do, we've got this whole bundle of rubbish that we take bits of and we sort of separate ourselves away, but we're still subjected to all the stuff we don't like. I mean, I happen to like classical music, but a good argument is, say, my kids, if a bit of classical music come on, they make fun of daddy because dad likes it, and then they'll walk off into another room. If there was no point that they'd ever be even subjected to hearing that little bit of classical music before they got the hump and walked out of the room, then they'd have no understanding whatsoever why their dad enjoys it, because the conversation wouldn't arrive. At least one of the things about being subjected to things you don't like is you can ask someone, well, why do you like it? I can't stand that. And you get a conversation and get understanding of everything going on. And it's really important. I mean, a lot of people, TV is the only education they get.
And Apple TV is going to do that for us. How? We've got right off the topic, haven't we?
Well, there you go. What's Apple TV going to do? If it's a complete TiVo box and you only get subjected to things that it believes you like, then your limitations are going to be shrunk down a lot.
That's there the Google go. Route, though. Everything you it thinks you like. I mean, that's definitely the Google mantra, isn't it? They want to know as much about you as they possibly can so that they can feed you what they think, you know, is good for you.
And they equally want to feed you a pile of stuff that they don't know even if it functions or you'll want it at all. I mean, that's the kind of irony, isn't it? You know, with they've got targeted advertising with search and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to actually what applications do people want, they clearly don't have a frigging clue. They've shut Wave down. Buzz is going to go. You know, all of those things are going to disappear. Google Plus, is that holding its own? I don't know.
In the photography market, I think it is, but I'm not so sure elsewhere.
I've started using it deliberately a lot more, but I still forget to post.
Yeah. I used it when it first came out, but I must admit I very rarely use it these days. It's still Twitter for me. I mean, again, the nice thing with Twitter is that it does expose you to things that, you know, I mightn't find otherwise. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's coming from a group of people that I have actively followed, but I still get, you know, a wide range of links to various sorts of stuff that I might not have seen before and I might not have been interested in before. But, you know, I do find new music, I found interesting news articles, stuff like that. But it is, you know, it's not, it is curated in some respect, but it's curated by the fact that, you know, there are people here that I follow and I'm interested in what they do and they have similar interests. So although I see a lot of stuff that I would have picked up anyway, I do still see a lot of stuff that I might not have come across before.
Jack in the chat room saying Google Plus is better than Facebook because of their rules. Facebook tends to stalk you a bit. And that's probably true, actually. And I would agree that Google Plus is a better environment, but I use Facebook just as badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I think with Google Plus, the reason, I mean, there is a point where Google Plus may succeed. And that is if somebody takes over Twitter and manages to produce the amount of bad publicity that Facebook does. At the moment, Twitter hasn't upset anyone. In the moment someone comes along and takes on, I don't know, I won't mention any company, but if someone buys Twitter as a going concern and then Facebookized it, we'll all go, well, we're off to Google. I'm not standing for that rubbish. And at the moment, Twitter is almost like Apple used to be. We all feel
that. Are you saying that the winner's going to be the one who pisses off the least people?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
But aren't we? We're in a completely new environment, though, aren't we? This is still very much new territory.
Yeah.
Everything is so new. We just don't know where it's going to end up. I mean, if you look back, you know, 5 years, could we have envisaged the iPhone and the iPad? I mean, that was obviously Apple did, but, you know, that sort of device has created a lot more usage, I think, for the likes of Twitter and Facebook, and then created the world of Google Plus as well.
Yeah, see, this is where I struggle with this idea of how representative we are of the market, though, as well, guys.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, I said last night on The Big Show, I went to a place, three places where I've got electronics swipe cards to get in this week, and I've had to sign into a book as well as, you know.
I know, yes.
And we're only talking, like someone said, oh, well, it's a fire. Well, yeah, but we're only talking about generating a TXT file on a printout the second the fire alarm goes off. This isn't rocket science by any stretch of the imagination. Nestle were doing it 15 years back. Yeah. And I mean, the number of iPads that have been sold across the world, I would guarantee that I use my iPad an awful lot. Don, you use it a lot?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Gaz, yeah. Have you got one?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's if I took it away, I'd be crucified by the rest of the family.
Alex?
Yeah.
You're not an iPad user, though, are you?
No, I will do.
Chat room, Steve is saying he's a massive user, and I think probably a good number of people who've got an iPad in the chat room will probably say they use it quite a lot. But we aren't representative of the market.
True. That's very true.
Well, I tell you, there is a problem coming up. And, I mean, I found it on my iPhone earlier because we were talking about, you know, which, you know, are you a Google Plus, are you Twitter, Facebook, or what have you. I reckon it takes me 4 minutes to walk back from school after lunchtime.
Mm.
Now, I had two tweets to answer. The wife had messaged me, you know, SMS'd me. I had someone that had iChatted me and it'd come through on Fring, and I had about three emails because I was in the school for 5 minutes. And I was walking back and I, you know, it's lucky no one had Google Plus'd me because I was having to flick from one different app to another, to another, to another. And it just sort of occurred to me, I'm trying to communicate with so many people in so many different environments in the same place. There is going to come a point where these things are somehow going to have to merge, but they're going to have to merge in a way that I don't have to remember that if I want to talk to such and such on a Friday evening, I've got to do it via Twitter rather than via email or Facebook.
I'm not sure they will merge, Alex. I think what will happen is that they will create their own niche environments. Like I'm already seeing, and I'm hearing a lot of people, a lot of photographers love Google Plus, and they love the way they can share and they interact with other users. And it seems that photographers really do like Google Plus, but I'm not seeing a lot of action from elsewhere. And I wonder if that's going to happen. You know, you'll get a certain age group going to Facebook. You'll get a certain type of market going to Google Plus. You'll get another group of people using Twitter. And I wonder if that's how they'll survive as it expands into more people's homes.
Well, maybe Google, sorry.
I was going to say, bringing it back to the Apple TV, I think one thing that is interesting, and you know how we use Twitter to look for resources and stuff, the deep integration of Twitter now with iOS 5, I think that's a very significant move that Apple have made. And obviously, if they do go down an Apple TV route, a proper Apple TV, it's going to be powered by iOS 5. And straight away, you've got built-in integration with Twitter in the base operating system of your TV. And that could lead to all sorts of things that people do. Another interesting thing I saw this week as well is that Apple have just released a new TV ad for the iPod Touch, and they touch on games, they touch on video, but 80% of the actual ad is all about messaging and using iMessage, because you can now obviously, because they've got iMessage and it's based on IP, you don't need to have an SMS connection. And the ad is full of young people messaging each other, so you know that's another play that Apple are making on to take over from SMS and use the iMessage, which is a free service, and enable that on all the devices. It'll be enabled on the Apple TV as well. You know, they're really sort of looking at this, you know, how we communicate with each other very sort of stealthily, I think, by introducing all these different services.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's very slightly worrying if you've got a service that is only available on one particular manufacturer's books, if you like.
Oh, well, hang on a second, because, I mean, there is an analogy here of talking about you having, I mean, this is where I think Google Plus is very, very good and intuitive, is it talks about, you know, you have a circle of friends, and you have a circle of friends who you know you can talk to because they've got kids, and you've got a circle of friends that you know through rugby, and you've got a circle of friends that you know through, you know, your son's karate class and that kind of stuff, and you access all of those people through the same device, which is the phone. If you like, as an analogy, if you want to talk to them physically. Do you remember when we used to do that? Yeah.
I remember that.
But that's the point, is that what Don's saying there is that you've got Twitter integration on your TV. We're still saying that the circle of friends is my Twitter friends, my Google Plus friends, my iMessage friends, my BBS friends, you know, those kind of things. What we're saying is, though, that we're getting more devices now to talk to each of those circles. There's no need to push the circles together because most of the people in that circle don't actually give a toss about all the other people in the other circles.
No, I completely agree, but with something like BBM or iMessage itself, it limits you to the physical device that somebody owns. I can't iMessage somebody that isn't using an Apple device.
No, but that's because they're not in your circle of friends for iMessage. They're in your circle of friends for Twitter, so you have to access Twitter to do that.
No, but no, if they got SMS, you can still use the iMessage application and it will seamlessly switch to SMS to message them. So it's the same application, but they've got, you know, and another thing I forgot to mention, someone's mentioned it in the chat room, FaceTime as well.
Yeah.
FaceTime's going to be, is embedded within iOS. So if they create a TV, you know, instant FaceTime.
Used it once. Thought it was great.
What I think would really, really work is, as you're saying, is iOS, they're going to embed Twitter. Now, if they can embed in the same way as Twitter, if I can go to my contacts, click Don McAllister, whatever contact you are available on at that time, it will send it through. I've got one place that I type, hi, Don, how you doing? You know, up for a beer, and you will get it. So I don't have to look whether on Facebook, Twitter, this, that, and the other.
No,
so,
I think that's naive to think that'll ever happen. I don't think
I don't know so much, because if you look in the address book now, you've got social media addresses. So if you've got a contacts list, you can put their Twitter ID in, you can put their Facebook ID, you can put their LinkedIn ID.
So when you then press that, what happens?
It takes you to their page at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you to the, it's just a conduit to lead you out. I think with the Twitter integration, though, I'm not sure with the Twitter integration how it is actually in the base operating system. The addresses, the social media addresses, are sort of not really fully integrated, but they are there in the address book and you can do things with them.
But is this where Apple actually has done that, though, Don? Because it leaves all its applications open, but in Deep Freeze. So when you click on that, it could be associated with a default Twitter application, a default browser, a default iMessage account, etc.
And Ewan, that's dead right, because, you know, your average Joe doesn't care. He just wants it to go. He just wants it to get to the person, however it's supposed to get there.
Mm.
So, you know, I think you're right, Don. It's whether the companies, other companies, actually allow the integration to occur across different, you know, across different companies. Whether, you know, and at the moment they are. Everybody's working, you know, you get Google Plus on the iPhone, you get it on the iPad, and you can do other things on Android devices. If that continues, then that's fine. But when it stops because somebody thinks they're losing out and they're not making the money that they need to make, or the pull-throughs on websites and advertisements, etc., that's when it could be pushed back again. But Apple certainly are doing the right thing by making it easy, or we think they're going to be making it easy to contact somebody in the way that that person needs to be contacted, because they don't care how they're contacted as long as they are.
But I mean, again, the compounding factor to all of this is going to be where the revenue stream comes from, the company that is doing the communicating. So if you look at Facebook's revenue stream, it doesn't come that much from an open source application that doesn't show any of its advertising. You've got to go to its application where they can push an ad, or you've got to go to the website where they can ensure that they embed an ad. And while that takes place, there will always be a social media Armageddon, because it strips the basic revenue streams from those people.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Did we start with Apple TV on this one, did someone say?
I think we did, yeah. That was a good conversation. I'm fine with that. iPads come in, allegedly. They're going to start production in January, says the rumours. That'd be really good. iPad 3, and it's going to have a fantastic display, a QXGA 2048 by 1536 panel.
Well, that's going to be the iPad Pro, isn't it?
Oh, come on. This is the prediction of all predictions, McAllister. Come on, spill the beans, dude.
No,
is it going to run Final Cut X then?
You don't know. I don't know. You know, I can really see them bringing out an iPad Pro, or, you know, like a Pro version of the iPad. I mean, it won't look much different. It'll have the high res screen. I'm not sure what else it might have, but you know, I can't see them just replacing it and then dropping the iPad 2 next year. I think they're going to keep the iPad 2 and have that as a low cost entry. You know, but for people who just want an iPad. And then this high resolution display for possibly a bit more money, with some extra features for.
You said it's the Kindle DX.
No, it just needs something. I mean, it's so close to. I mean, whenever I need to do any serious work, I will go back to my laptop. You know, if I need to do something serious, if I'm going to do a ton of email or something, I'll go back to my laptop. But it's getting so close now that the apps are getting so sophisticated that, you know, I can see within 12 months, very easily seeing some real pro-level apps coming down for the iPad.
And Dom, when you say you go back to your, you know, your laptop, are you using the Air very much?
Yes. See, I have my desktop machine. It's where I'll do all my editing, most of my editing and, you know, the day-to-day stuff. But once the working day is finished, yeah, I'm in the living room. If I'm sort of browsing or consuming stuff, I'll pick up the iPad and I'll use that quite easily while, you know, I'm in front of the TV. If I've then got to do some extra work, I'll then use the MacBook Air and work on that. And, you know, that's fine. So I do use my desktop, my laptop and the iPad for specific things, but they're pretty well defined where I do use them for, except possibly for the, you know, the laptop and the iPad are starting to merge now.
Well, that's sort of a good tie-in with maybe an iPad Pro and the new Apple television, if it ever comes along.
Is this what you think this is? The new TV is actually just a bigger iPad.
Well, no, what I'm saying is if you've got this new iPad with this fantastic screen, you're going to really need to back up the power inside that machine to make the use of having all that. You know, if you really want to do proper film editing or something like that, you're going to need an awful lot more oomph inside that machine. Now, if you've got all that oomph in a handheld machine and you can AirPlay that directly into an Apple television, which has got a 40-inch display, for instance, and somehow it can share some of the processing, therefore this tablet in combination with a 40-inch screen, which has got some processing ability on its own, might then be something incredibly interesting.
See, the limitation they're going to have always with the iPad is the touch interface, you know, how precise you can be with your finger rather than using either, you know, a pen tablet or something like that. So they're always going to have to work to within those constraints. But even saying that, you know, although I don't, you know, if I'm honest, I don't really use iMovie very much on the iPad or the iPhone, but it is there and it is usable. You know, I've tried it and you could quite easily edit, you know, a smallish video quite easily. But that's the only limitation as far as I can see. I'm not too sure how they'll get around some of the needs for sort of more precise control when they start looking at more pro apps. But, you know, the addition of the higher resolution display must sort of push them down that track of having a more of a pro-focused view of the iPad.
Are we going to go to with our higher resolution pad? I mean, would we end up with a situation whereby the pad suddenly starts to act like a tablet would be for like a graphics Wacom type thing for the TV to integrate with?
Yeah, so, but you'd have to sharpen your fingers.
No, because you've got the bigger screen, it'll track and it'll track more closely. The resolution will upscale via AirPort to a bigger TV because that's far in excess of the resolution of your television. So
no,
therefore,
I agree,
it will then become far more easy to your fine motor movement will be represented by a bigger readout. So what you'll see is if you're trying to, you can't see where your finger is when your finger's covering where it wants to be. So
no, I agree.
What I'm saying is you now have a little slider or you have a little line or a cursor eye bar that moves on your TV and then you can you know, you don't look at the iPad, you look at the television.
Well, to be honest, that's a great idea, but I would
Thanks,
think
mate.
They're going to go down that route.
I should patent probably, that, shouldn't I?
It probably wouldn't be to the Apple TV. It would probably be to a Thunderbolt display. Imagine having a nice high-resolution iPad on your desk that you can connect to a Thunderbolt display and have it mirrored to the screen. And get that high resolution screen on your Thunderbolt display, and then
are you going
to
cope with that over AirPort? Is there enough data transfer?
No, but maybe a physical Thunderbolt connection to an iPad if they bring an iPad out with Thunderbolt.
I
agree with you, and I think that's a possibility. But what is it about using a pen on a tablet and using your finger on the iPad? There seems to be a hell of a lot of difference. Mm. I mean, whenever you use a pen, you always seem to be able to be more accurate. Now, whether that's the years of training and the, you know, your little girl and, you know, our kids in the future say, why on earth did they ever use a pen? That could be, you know, where we're going. But at this point in time, the accuracy for, you know, having a pen and looking up, I can see happening. But having your finger on the, you know, on the iPad or whatever the device is.
Don't forget, guys, we do that now with our laptops. You know, we've got a small 2-inch by 4-inch in front of us. We've got our finger on it and we use that and we can quite easily control.
Not to the same accuracy with the finger. Not to the same accuracy with the finger.
Mm, Don't know so much. I don't use anything other than the trackpad built into my laptop, and you know, I use that for all my Final Cut Pro editing and stuff like that. So,
I'm a Wacom track. I'm a pad user. I'm a pen user. I use Photoshop with a stylus quite often. There is no comparison whatsoever with the intricacy I can use with my Wacom tablet and what I can do with my finger. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I can hear his mind ticking away all that far away. But no, I can't even finish my sentence. I'm far more precise using my tab. Oh, shut up. I'm far more precise using my pen than I am using anything else, including a mouse. Go on, rip the bits
I've got to say, I do like the comment in the chat room. I think the aliens are watching at this and laughing. They probably are.
Well, they've probably got a built-in stylus on the end of their fingers anyway, so...
Yes.
Well, they put us here.
Or it could be that we actually get to that point where, you know, you've got a little electronic device which you can... let me glue it to the end of your nail rather than shoving the end of your finger, I suppose is a better...
I mean, in reality, when you're using a stylus on a tablet, you know, with a pen, you're actually resting your whole hand, and all you're doing is motor-wise, you're literally just gently moving the tips of your fingers, but everything is purely supported weight-wise and everything, including the pen is supported weight-wise. When you're using your finger, you're sort of, you know, it's the difference between, you know, doing something with a great big robotic arm or doing something with, you know, a really fine needle. I use both things, and I actually think I'm fairly good with both. But intricacy-wise, I need to use a pen. You wouldn't be quiet. Yeah.
No, I would agree with you. And I think the fatigue thing is a big deal for me as well, because I when I got my Magic Trackpad, I tried to use it as a mouse replacement, and it just wasn't happening for me because not so much the accuracy, but purely fatigue. You know, I couldn't spend all day using the trackpad to actually navigate the cursor around the screen. Whereas, you know, I've got a Wacom trackpad as well, and I use that all day, you know, a pen tablet when I'm actually doing my, my editing and stuff.
See, pen tablets have always been my Achilles heel because...
You're using it wrong then.
No, I buy them and I try them and I don't like them and I put them in a cupboard and then I see one and I buy that and then I try that and then I put it in the same cupboard and there's a pile of the damn things. It's just...
No,
but
they're
my Achilles heel. I just can't get to used to them, but I'm in love with the idea of loving them.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, if you're ever short of a coaster, you'll be okay.
No, I've got 10 or 12 of them, mate.
We could have a whole dinner service.
In fact, the best one I ever had was a Trust tablet, and it was A3, and it was huge, and it only cost me like £45, and it was really, really good. But I stopped using that as well because I went back to a mouse, because mouse was better.
Yeah.
What about, has anyone had to go with the pens that are on the stalks, the articulated stalks? They're not on a pad. You draw in the air with them.
God, I can imagine that being exhausting.
No, I've never tried that.
Trust, I thought they only made rubbish, mate. I'll tell you what, I've got, there we go. There you go, my mouse for my Mac. Trust, far better than the crappy one that Apple provide. Which is sat here doing absolutely nothing.
Looks good though, doesn't it?
Yeah, there we go. Too many bloody Bluetooth problems and connection issues and battery sapping. I just plug it in and I've got my keyboard here that's plugged in as well. Sticky
Bluetooth.
I think
Apple's got something against you, Ewan, actually, because I remember us having that conversation on Everyday Mac about syncing up.
Yeah.
Calendars.
But mate, I get raw chicken in restaurants.
Ah, that's
cool.
That's
fine. Just me.
That's what you do.
I get abused.
Do you get raw fish as well?
No, don't start me on raw.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I only get JPEG fish.
Bastard. Right, Aaron Sorkin strongly considering writing a Steve Jobs biopic, and they're talking about a movie getting made. He's going to write the screenplay as well, and George Clooney and Noah Wiley are looking to be the players of Steve Jobs. Do we want a film?
No, because it's not going to be in any way true, in any way, shape, or form. But let's face it, I mean, if you're going to play Steve Jobs, you've got two ways of doing it. You're either going to be really, really kind or really, really horrible. And I'd like to see you get the truth out there without offending at least half the audience.
I mean, Jobs doesn't come over well in the book, and the interesting thing would be whether they'd be true to the book or not, because the book you've got to take as being fairly accurate, I would have thought, based on the fact it was commissioned by Jobs.
Who, if they do a film, whoever does that part is going to make sure that they can cry a lot.
It's true. There is a fair amount of crying.
There is an awful lot of crying for a grown man. Well, grown woman, even. I mean, there's just a lot of crying. And I don't know, I wasn't sure whether I was going to get the book or not. I haven't got the book, but I did go to audio and get one of those free downloads, and then I'll cancel it. Shh, don't tell them that. But somebody also pointed me towards, is it called Macintosh Folklore Radio? In the iTunes store, mm-hmm. And there's a whole load of, I can't remember who it's read by now.
Andy Hirschfeld. Derek.
Yeah, that's right. But it's read by Derek. Derek Warren, I think. There's an awful lot of that which is actually in the book. Mm-hmm. An awful lot. I mean, it's almost word for word in some places. I just found it incredible.
One of the criticisms of the book is that the guy has, it's not all new stuff. He didn't go out, although he went out and interviewed tons and tons of people. He's actually used previous works and just taken huge chunks out of them to put into the book. So if you actually read lots of the other books, a lot of the stuff you'll recognise from before.
Mm. Yeah, good. Good points in the chat room. Pirates of Silicon Valley was a good film. It was enjoyable. The film would be too fast-paced for it to be any good.
Sorry, someone's asking. I'm not in the chat room, unfortunately. It's called Macintosh Folklore Radio.
Right. There we go. Jolly good. There's not a lot of news really apart from that, so we'll go on to it. This podcast and many others... Oh, I've cocked up the logo. This podcast and all the others on the network are brought to you by UK2.net. They pick up all the bandwidth charges for everything. We don't pay a penny for any of our bandwidth. They keep us afloat. You need to support them. Please do. If you've got an account with them already, thank you so much. I know a lot of you do buy a lot of service off them every month, and they're always very grateful and always ask to be passed on. But if you're a customer, please return through our link, and then you will be reinforcing the fact that you originally came from BagelTech. They're very happy about that, just to sign into your account. If you buy some service from them, make sure you use our click through off bageltechnews.com, and then when you get to your checkout, you're going to get a big bonus, because you get 15% off if you type in BagelTech. And if you're transferring in a domain, there's a DNS management charge which BagelTech listeners don't have to pay, so type in BagelDNS and that'll get rid of that charge completely, and you can use both. So there you go, UK2.net, keep us afloat, we love them to bits, and long may they continue support us, because the bandwidth usage is getting worse and worse.
Or better and better.
Fortunately, we've now got a thing that just says from to, and the two is infinite, so that's phew.
Excellent.
And Don, you love them too, don't you, mate?
I do indeed, yep, they're very good.
Excellent.
Very, very good.
Have we got any cool things? Don, would you like to start us off?
Yes. Let me... it's something that I think it was only announced today. I don't know if you've seen the Glyph iPhone 4.
Are you going to embarrass yourself here, mate? Because I did see that tweet.
Yes.
I thought that was a spelling mistake.
Don't mention that. Let me tell you what the cool thing is, and then I'll come clean on my tweet from before. The Glyph is this great, very small... It's a little plastic holder that you slot your iPhone into. And it's actually got a standard, thing on the bottom? The screw thread for a standard tripod. Mm-hmm. So you can actually put your iPhone onto a standard tripod. The thing with it, though, is that it's, although it does hold it quite snugly, I always feel a little bit wary about it. It looks very precarious. Well, the people who invented the Glyph have come out with an add-on kit that gives you...
convenient.
Indeed. They give you a little thing that goes into the thread so that you can put it on your keyring so you can keep the Glyph with you at all times. But they also give you like an extra bit that goes over the top of the iPhone and it sort of secures it. I mean, it's fine as long as you wouldn't do it sort of riding your bike, but this clip now enables you to put it on hold it upside down. You can move it about and stuff like that. So it's relatively cheap. I think it was only about $12 or something. Mind you, it's cost me an extra $6 to get it shipped over to the UK.
I thought you were going to say $30.
But so I ordered the add-on kit and then went looking for my Glyph and I can't find it. So I've got two of them. I bought one when it first came out, and then I was given one as part of my Macworld swag bag last year. So I had two of them, but they're going to be in a camera bag somewhere, so I have to sort of get them out. But you can actually buy the Glyph Plus, which is the Glyph and the two extra bits as well. But,
well, now you know why it comes with a keyring attachment, don't you?
Yeah, that's going to be useful. It'll stay on my keyring there from that point.
Excellent. There
you go. And it also acts as like a kickstand as well. So if you want to prop up your iPhone to either to use it to type things on it or to watch a movie, you can do that as well.
Yeah, it slides in that bit on the top there that you can see. I'm trying to find a picture of it on Google Images, but there doesn't seem to be one of it slid into the... Oh, here we go.
I think if you... Neat Studio, I think, is the... let's check.
There we go. That's the one with it slid in the other way.
Yeah.
And it fits on like a GorillaPod or a standard tripod fitting. Very, very good.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It works really, really well. I've used it...
But it slides out of that, you're saying...
But it just feels a little bit dangerous, you know, if with just the phone sort of... It sort of does grip it when it goes in, but this extra clip that goes over the top should make it nice and permanent.
Or a rubber band.
Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you?
I'm a photographer.
Don't sit there going, bastard. It just cost me $18 to get that, and I could have got a rubber band out the drawer.
But remembering, if you plug in your, as James reminded me yesterday through a few tweets, I've got to get the right James. James the photographer, not James the BBC man.
Hmm.
The addition of being able to take photos using the iPhone headphones volume control would actually be quite beneficial to use with this. So you'd have the remote cord from something on a tripod and you wouldn't necessarily be wobbling it when you're trying to take the picture.
Yeah, brilliant.
Comment from Jack in the chat room. It would be an interesting thing for men in their late ages. You won't be welcome back then, mate.
Late ages?
Late ages. Gaz, have you got a cool thing?
Well, I've not got a cool thing, but I've got just a couple of quick tricks. Now, I did mention this first one some time ago. In fact, possibly on Not Another Mac podcast that you were on. Mm. And this is when you're watching your Apple TV or items through your Apple TV, and they are marked as partially watched or not watched at all. I was getting a little bit frustrated, but I suddenly thought, oh, if only there was an easy way to actually mark it as watched, completely watched, unwatched, whatever. Well, you can. And what I didn't realize was if you hold the center button of the menu, the center button on the Apple remote, which is obviously just the circular button in the, in a rim, I won't say ring, because that will cause some frivolity. You get an option come up on your Apple TV, which you can then decide whether you want to leave the program as watched, unwatched, or obviously clear it from being partially watched.
Mm.
Now, another thing that I came across as well is a nice, I don't know if you use the reading facility on Safari. You know that you've got the option to actually, what's it called? I think it's the reading list.
Mm-hmm.
And you can add to that reading list and store stuff for later. Well, there's a quick option, a keyboard option, which is Shift Command D, and that just adds the current page that you're looking at to your reading list for later. So less product, more quick tips.
Good man. Thank you very much. It's fine. Anything to do with Mac, it doesn't have to be a product. Alex, what have you got for us, mate?
Anything? Right. It's something that I nearly updated earlier, and I thought, oh, I better not do it now because I've got to do a Bagel Tech Mac. I needed, there's some functionality I needed for something I was doing with Parallels. And someone in the chat room said earlier, oh, I haven't gone over to Mac yet because I like playing my PC games too much. So it made me think, you know what, I should mention Parallels because I'm not sure if everybody knows. There are two basic ways of, three basic ways of running PC software on a Mac. One is emulation, which doesn't really work. Two is running boot camp, which is having to run the whole Mac as a PC. And the third way is to run a piece of software such as Parallels, and I think there's one called VMWave or VMware.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does, it allows you to actually run Windows at the same time as Mac software on your Mac. And it works really, really fluidly. I mean, I've never had a problem other than there's something I want to do on Windows 7 that I need a new update for. And the reason I wanted to mention it now is I've only just realized that part of the new update means you can also get an iPad and iPhone application that goes along with it. And I think it runs via the Wi-Fi, but you can use your Parallels via your Wi-Fi on your Mac or your iPhone. So you can get, if it is a real emulator in that case, but it will run through your Wi-Fi system, and I think you can do it on 3G as well, and run Parallels. So you can actually run Windows software on your iPad.
Can I ask Alex a question?
Yeah.
You can. Don't expect me to understand it.
Are you in cahoots with Don? Because I've just seen a show come down from Don.
Really?
About these very things.
Well, to do with but me. The thing is, what I would suggest, though, because I
that's Don McAllister, screencasts online, 50% off at the moment for joining. Yeah, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
What I would actually say is, because I don't know much about it, I would actually join Screencasts Online, because I'm sure there's some really, really excellent tuition on something that might be just like that. And another thing, which is really, really cool, and SF Drummer in the chat room did tell me about it a few weeks ago, and I had fun playing with it, and he just reminded me, if you hold down Control Alt Command and 8, I don't know if you've ever tried it, it inverts all the colours on your Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on. Alt Command and 8.
Not on mine, it doesn't. Screen.
Well, maybe on a real Mac then. Come on today.
Right.
It's really good fun.
Shut up, Fox. Right. My pick. I do the rugby club's website, and I am crap with that kind of stuff. So I use iWeb, and it was a boon, absolute boon to do it. And I had several iWebs up because I did a ranking one for all the family in the States that's got a password to get in for it for photos of the kids and things, and a load of other stuff. So when I put Lion on, I thought, right, I need to open up the rugby club website and update it all. And I dragged the domain icon over and dropped it on the iWeb picture. And it opened a completely blank iWeb. So hang on, that can't be right. So I do it again and again and again and again. And then I realise it's not opening it. So then I Google and find out that you can't actually do that in Lion. It doesn't work. Lion now, the upgrade to iWeb, means that iWeb will only open an active project. So if you want to open a new active project, start a new site, you won't be able to go back to the old one because Lion won't let you drag it in and open it. That's bad news. Or you can't even double-click it either. Unless you get iWeb Drop. It's a free script that's available from lots and lots of websites. And all you do is put the script on your desktop. That's why there's a crappy picture of it, because it's a screen capture of my desktop. And you take the domain file and you drag it and drop it onto iWeb Drop. And then it will force iWeb to open it under Lion. One more reason to stay with Snow Leopard. There you go. But it works. And it's free. I like free. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com.
50% off for Bageltech listeners as well.
Indeed. There's also 50% off for Black Friday as well. But
that's 100% off then.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Membership's free today.
Yeah, so find me over at screencastonline.com or over at themaxscreencastguy.com for my blog.
If you've got a choice of offer codes to put in when you sign up, use Bageltech. Yeah. Gaz, thanks for coming along, mate. Where can we get a hold of you?
Well, I'm just gonna wear this mask. Sorry for hitting the mic there. Just gonna wear this, especially for Don, because he's normally used to seeing me in this mask. So there you go.
That's more. I recognise you now. Thanks.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Okay. You can find me at gazmaz.com, and there's links there to all of the podcasts I seem to frequent.
Come back and see us again soon, please, mate.
Yeah, love to. It's been good.
Good man. And lastly, but by no means least, Mr. Fox, where can we get you?
You can get me at the Screencast Online Fan Club or the Don McAllister Appreciation Society. But failing that,
I appreciate the president.
Yeah, exactly. Failing that, at Alex G. Fox on Twitter will get you all the abuse you need.
We'll be back again next week. We'll try and get Andy and Natco to actually turn up. We'll have to wait and see, though. He's going to come at some point. He keeps saying yes. Every time he's been on here, he said yes, but he just hasn't shown. So, Andy and Natco, if you're listening, you are coming on. We'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.